This week's Parshas, Parshas Miketz, is sort of right in the middle of the beginning and end of one of the thrilling ups and downs in the Torah. You have, basically, we have Parshas Vayeshev, we have Parshas Miketz, and Parshas Vayigash. And Vayeshev sets the tone of what's happening with Yosef being sold. Parshas Miketz is Yosef becoming the king and negotiating with his brothers, and the brothers still stuck in a very difficult situation, and it gets more and more difficult for them as the parasha goes on. And then finally, in Parshas Vayigash, Yehuda steps forward and there is clarity about what the real, the ins and outs, or exactly what's going on, so, which means there's a lot of ups and downs in these six parashas, and Parshas Begates is the middle of all this. Okay, now within all this, How do we get the message of exactly what we should be learning from this, how Yaakov treated the situation, how Yosef reacted, and how do we learn from these parashas how to maximize our potential when it comes to the Yom Tov of Chanukah? So I want to go through a very, very interesting Yesod. And the Yesod is called Midas Hishtavus. Midas Hishtavus is the ability to not to be rocked about by outside events. Its ability to be stable. Its ability to be able to be focused even in a very, very difficult situations. Let's start with Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is forced. He is maneuvered into sending Binyamin, yeah, his son that he's so worried about, to Mitzrayim. And Yaakov Avinu says to his brother, said to his sons, "What can I tell you? Go with them. Go with them. Take with you a bit of this, take with you a bit of that." And he says to them, "Take this and this and this, and go down to Mitzrayim." And he says, "Vekel Shakai," this is in Pasuk Yudalad, Perik Mengil, Pasuk Yudalad, "Vekel Shakai, and Hashem Yitain Lachem Rachamim," shall give you mercy, lifnei ha'ish, in front of the man, "Veshilach Lachem Es Achichem Acher," and he should send you your other brother, says Rashi. This is Nevuah, that somehow or another, the other brother that got lost will come back. Ve'es Binyamin, and with far as Binyamin is concerned, Va'ani kasheh shakolti shakolti. Yeah, as I've been bereaved, so I've been bereaved. This is very much a defeatist attitude. Yaakov Avinu is saying, you know what, I've had such a difficult life. Whatever happens to Binyamin, happens to Binyamin. If he goes, I have Tzoros, I have Tzoros. What can I do? What's going on over here? It doesn't sound like Yaakov Avinu. It doesn't sound like the Bechir HaOvos. He's saying to his sons, "Rabbeinu Shleilem will look after you." And the beginning of the Pasuk says it. Rashi says, it's a whole drasha. "Vekel Shakai is Rachamim," and he'll take it by your hand, and he'll say, "Dai l'tzorosi," he'll say, "Enough of my Tzoros," and he should go with you, and you have Nevuah, the Ruach HaKodesh. But by the way, the Ruach HaKodesh only comes to a person with Teich Simcha. And that is why, as we know, Yonah HaNovi ran away, yeah, because he still wanted to be B'Simcha, not be in Eretz Yisrael. That's really a separate subject. But Ruach HaKodesh only comes to Teich Simcha. Yaakov Avinu was B'Simcha over here. So how can the Pasuk say, "V'kasha Shakolti Shakolti, I've been bereaved, you know what, that's it. What can I do? Binyamin's gone, what can I do about it?" So, what's Peshat over here? So the Imre Emes says a fantastic, while the Ger Rebbe says like this. He says, Yaakov Avinu is saying to his sons, you need support. You need chizuk. And I'll give you chizuk. I'll give you nevuah if that's what you need. And I'll give you tefillis if that's what you need. Va'ani, but as far as I'm concerned, kashe shakolti shakolti, I have dealt with bereavement. It means nothing to me whether Binyamin comes back or doesn't come back. What does that mean? His son. Yeah, his son. From Rochel. What does that mean? He says, my Abis Hashem is not going to make the slightest bit of difference if Binyamin comes back or not. My Avodas Hashem is such that I am able to cope with situations to such an extreme that even if I lose Binyamin, Shekash, Shekolti, Shekolti, it won't affect my Avodas Hashem. For you, I daven for you because I know your Avodah will be affected. But as far as I'm concerned, my Avodas Hashem is such that I cannot be affected by this. This is an incredible thing for Yaakov Avinu to say. Not defeatist, on the contrary. Nothing defeat me. I have dealt with disappointment to the extent that it doesn't do anything that is going to take away from Avodas Hashem. And this went down to Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik was in such a level of perfection with living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. any position he was in, he remained exactly the same. Yosef was sold by his own brothers. He was almost killed. He gets taken down to Mitzrayim. He gets taken to Potiphar. He gets slung in jail. Right? One thing after the other. One thing after the other. Yosef was beaten on all sides. And all of a sudden, at the beginning of the parasha, Pare has a dream. And everything switches around. And the Sahar Mashkim comes to Pare and says, Eschatoyani maska yoyim, and he tells him exactly what's going on. It says a posuk. Vayishlach Pare, Perikut Mem Aleph, posuk Yudalud. Vayishlach Pare, Pare called him, sent for him. Vayikres Yosef, and called Yosef. Vayarit suhum in a boyer. And they schlepped him out of there, they very quickly. Vayigalach, and they shaved him down. Vayichalis the most, and changed his clothes. Vayofa Pare. Can you imagine a person in the darkness? It wasn't a prison like they have today, an open jail where you have a flat screen TV. It was a pit. Yeah, he was living with infection, he was living with disease, he was living with darkness, and you schlep him out, and within a very, very short period of time, he's standing, freshly shaven, you know, his eyes probably adjusting to the light, yeah, with his clothes, beautiful clothes, and he's standing in front of Pari. Vayomer Pari Yosef, Pari was a superpower who believed that he was a god. Yeah, Pari refused to relieve himself in public because he believed he was a god. Pari is standing there in front, believing he's a god, and Vayomer Pari Yosef, I have a chaloim, I need your help. Vayan Yosef es Pari lemo. This is the first conversation Yosef had with Pari. Belodai. Elohim yan eshloim Pari. It's not me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer. God. Not, you're not the God. There's a God of the Jews and he will answer. Don't put up, I'm not taking any credit for this. There's a God and he will answer. Yosef, this is amazing. In a short period of time, he's taken from one extreme to the other, and he's kept his equilibrium. He's completely stable. He is able to answer and be completely focused, and not only that, give Pari Musa. It's not me, it's Hashem. And you're not, by the way, a god, he's a god. And then he's able to give him the pitaron, give him the translation and interpretation of his dream, and not only that, give Pari advice how to run his country. That is unbelievable. Rav Shlomo Volba, I think this is part of the shmuz that Roselli gave at the Bris. Shlomo Volba said there were three people who were tested in a moment when they were off guard. He said, the Gemara brings down a Medrash Rabbah, Shleisha Bodku HaKadosh Baruch Hu Pitoim. There were three people HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a test in a moment of surprise. Umotzon Ovit Shalmei Raglaim. Don't translate that. And they found them to be not that great, put it that way. Okay, Kayin. Kadosh Baruch Hu asked Kayin, "Sheila Heichan Hevel Achicha? Where's Hevel?" For Heishiv, and he says, "I don't know." Bilam, Miha Noshim, who are these people? And he answered, "Balak sent them to me." Chizkiyo was asked, "Miha Noshim?" And he says, "Melech Bavel sent them to me." Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know that. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know what's going on. Kadosh Baruch Hu created you. He created the world. He doesn't know. The reflex was such that were taken by surprise and they answered ridiculous answers. Yosef was taken by surprise and he was not one bit knocked off his balance. Why? Because he was not surprised. It didn't make a difference which position he was in. Whether he was in jail, whether he was standing in front of Pari. Like the Pasuk says in the beginning of Shemos. But Yosef Hoyba Mitzrayim, what does that mean, says Rashi. Hu Yosef Royat Sain Oviv. He was Yosef that grazed the sheep of his father. Hu Yosef Shahoibu Mitzrayim Vanasim Melech. V'oi made Betzidka. And he was Yosef who became the king and he remained in Hetzidkus. It made no difference where Yosef was. He remained absolutely clear and absolutely perfect because it did not surprise him. He was ultimately with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You know, the Mir Yeshiva, went through incredible difficulties. The Mir Yeshiva was established in Mir in Poland. And it was an unbelievable yeshiva. And you got to read through the story of how they move from place to place. And they end up in Kobe, they end in Shanghai, and they end up in Kobe. Right? And, you know, that wasn't particularly friendly to these boxers. They were allies of Hitler, right? They were allies. The Japanese were allies. And they're in a completely foreign culture, with a completely foreign climate, with a completely foreign atmosphere. And they were able to learn there. You should see the hasmada. You can't imagine how these boys learnt with the incredible heat. And they learnt with the hasmada. After that, they went on a boat all the way back to Eretz Yisrael. And there's a whole kuntras, a thick kuntras that came out called Torah Sasvina, the Torah that they learnt on the boat when they were coming back to Eretz Yisrael. There's a famous quote from Chaim Shmulevitz. Simon asked Chaim Shmulevitz, you know, they're waiting all this time on the boat, for weeks and weeks on the boat. And they said, you know, where are we? Said to Chaim Shmulevitz, Rosh Yeshiva, where are we? One bocha said to the other, you know, how are we? Have we passed Cyprus? Are we soon close to Eretz Yisrael? And Chaim Shmulevitz said, where are we holding? We're holding Shmait Zavov. They're learning Shev Shmait, so we're holding Shmait Zavov. That's where we are. What difference does it make whether we are in Mir in Poland, or whether we are yeshiva in Kobe or Shanghai, or on a boat? We're with the Rebbeinu Shleilam. Nothing shock them. Nothing will knock them off balance. There's a famous story with Reb Leib Lopian, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, one of the yeshivas of Gateshead. You know, there's, in England they have these very, very steep escalators. Yeah? And they're very sharp, they're metal stairs, they're very sharp, and wooden stairs, and he once fell all the way down as an old man. He went tumbling down the escalators as an old man, and they lay at the heap at the bottom of the escalators. And the bocher who was with him shot down the escalators, and went to say, Rebbe, you okay? You know, and he was bloodied, and he was bruised, and his muffled voice comes from underneath his kapota, and he says, I'm alive and kicking the Yetzer Hara. So that was the person. He's in a tumble. You tumble down. No. It doesn't matter where you are. He's focused on Avodas Hashem. He's focused on Yerushalayim. How did he do this? How did Yosef do this? How was he able to stay so focused? What was his ability? I want to give you, Rabbi Isai, an unbelievable vote from Aaron Leibsteiman. I'm telling you, this vote is worth any amount of money. It's a beautiful, beautiful vote. Yosef HaTzadik had two children, Ephraim and Menashe. Ephraim and Menashe. Why is Ephraim called Ephraim and Menashe called Menashe? So the apostle describes exactly why. Kineshani Elikim. And he says by Ephraim, I forgot behind. I left behind all my memories on my home. And the second child they called Ephraim, because the Kosh Baruch made me fruitful in my land. And so says the Pasuk. The Medrash Rabbah brings down that there's another reason why he called his children Ephraim. And it says, he called his children Ephraim because of the Ovis. Aaron Leif Shteyman brings down the Medrash Rabbah. He called his children Ephraim after the Ovis. They said there were two Ovis that were related to Ophir, to Afer, to dust. Avram Avinu said, Anoichi Ophir Afer, I am dust. Who am I? I'm dust. Yitzchok Avinu had a relationship to Afer because he was almost killed and burnt on the Mizbeach, and therefore he had the Afer, always talk about it. Va'efer shel Yitzchok b'zari rachm of Tizkoy, or talking about Rosh Hashanah, you should remember the dust of where he was burnt as ash, right, on the Mizbeach. So Afer, yes, is referring to Avraham Avinu's offer of the Afer, and the Afer, the ash of Yosef, of Yitzchok Avinu, yeah. So Ephraim, says a Medrash Rabbah, is a plural of two Afer. Afer plus Afer equals Ephraim. It's a plural of two Afer. And therefore, he is remembering Avram and Yitzchak. He called his child Avram. He's called the child Ephraim to remind himself of Avram and Yitzchak. Like we call our children, you know, whatever it is, Binyamin, Moshe Chaim, whatever it is after great-grandfather. It didn't have many options in those days. And therefore, they called the child Ephraim as a name of Avram and Yitzchak.
I know a guy named Dusty.
Dustin. So that's what he called it. Avraham and Yitzchak was Ephraim. So the Chazal asked, well, Aaron Leif Shteyman asks, Avraham and Yitzchak has such amazing qualities. Chesed, Gvura. You know, they had amazing qualities. You pick Ephraim to represent Avraham and Yitzchak. That's it. Afer is ash. That is Avram Yitzchak is ash. That's who they are. Ash! Is that who they are? Ashes. Ephraim is ashes. That's who they are. What's going on over here? What's that?
Is the question not... Is not
yeah, please.
No, I'm saying, is it not so pashut? Is it such a bomb of kasha? I mean, is it really pashut? Why do we call that?
Okay.
Well, I'm saying because that's what they were. Everything, all of their accomplishments were because of that.
What was the essence of their accomplishment?
They were humble people.
Oh, so that's what he says. There are two elements in Avram and Yitzchok that Yosef had to stay focused with. And every time he yelled at his son, Ephraim! Yeah? Those two things had to come to mind. What are they? Avram Avinu was anoichu ofer ve'efer is humility. Anova. That's anova. Avram Avinu represented anova. And that is something, in order to stay in a country and be go from the lowest levels to the highest levels and to stay normal, requires incredible anova. You know, you get these black baseball players who get taken from sometimes, they get recognized from the, you know, from very, very poor suburbs in America, and they make it big, and they go to the big major teams, and they earn a fortune. It takes incredible anova for them to stay sane, not to go into drugs, and not to go into violence, and to remember who they are. It takes anova. And some of them manage, some of them don't, right? For Yosef HaTzadik Lahavdol, to go from being thrown out by his brothers, almost killed, to be a prisoner, to become now the Melech of Mitzrayim, and to stay focused, not to be tossed around by all that's going on, takes anova, takes humility, number one.
There's a question, though, is the underlying premise. The premise, it seems, that we were talking about is that they had this midah continually. But we see that it's really not like that. Like Yosef was in the pit, he was crying out with his brothers. He was crying out to them, he was crying. We see always, by Yaakov Avinu, that he experienced real tsar. He didn't experience hashavos. When these things were happening, it wasn't like he was this tranquil guy who was meditating on a mountain and, hey, you know, what happens, happens. He was emotionally interacting with a human being, and he was sad. He had real emotions. So is it really that there's a is it really this, the thing is that it's a process that actually, I'll tell you, I'm reading a book right now about these guys who were in Vietnam War, and they went through this horrible battle, and where they ended up with their midot development after.
Right.
Was this place that you're talking about, Ishkaf, right, this point where they got to the point where, like, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Whatever it is, right. They, none of this stuff moved them.
Right.
So is it really that they were the etzim this way, or was
no? They're working on themselves. It was development. A development in a healthy way. Yosef, with all his ishtavos, he burst into tears in the middle. Man, put yourself together. You're Ibn Yamin. Come on. He starts crying, and you've got to wash his face and come back and act. Right. Ishtavos does not mean you're stone. Ishtavos does not mean I have no emotions. Hishtavos means I have incredible emotions. I'm incredibly sensitive. But whatever Hashem throws at me, I know how to deal with it and to move on. It should not affect my ruchnius. That's what it means.
Right. Well, so what does that mean? Let's drill down on that. What does it mean that it doesn't affect your ruchnius?
It means that I don't become, if I become from nothing into a huge king overnight, I am not going to leave behind my sensitive personality. I am not going to become now an afflictive ruler. I'm not going to become somebody who's corrupted because power corrupts.
Or hafuch, if everything goes really bad, I'm not going to go into a...
Exactly, I'm not going to lose everything. I'm not going to go into a depression that I'm going to absolutely lose everything and become completely entrenched in my sorrow. That is ishtavos. So he needed anova. He needed anova. He needed humility. On the other hand, a person, if they're too humble... If a person just, who am I? That's it. He can be he's very, very impressionable. It's possible for a person to give him over, you know, what he believes this person should be doing. Yes, you're right. No. For a person to survive in a society that is out to destroy him, he's got to have another very, very fundamental element, and that is Yitzchok. The eifer of Yitzchok, to be able to stand up and sacrifice your life for your own values. Mesiras nefesh. On one hand, it's anova, humility. On the other hand, it's mesiras nefesh, that I'm willing to die for my principles. I'm willing never to give up anything. Reb Noach Weinberg used to say, "Zechonin levracha." A person does not live until they know what they're willing to die for. Unless you know what you're willing to die for, life doesn't have a meaning. And Yosef had these two things. He was aware that unless he has anova on one side, and he has on the other hand the credible self-awareness and mysterious nefesh to die and give everything away for what he has to do, it's not worth it. That's what we call the son of Ephraim. living in a world that today is probably more difficult than any other time. You know, we're bombarded with billboards of what we're supposed to be having, what we need. You have an iPad 2. You're a dinosaur. Yeah? There's an iPad 4 with a retina. You know? And if you've got an iPhone 4. Oh, Nebuch. You know, unless you have the 5, you know, you posh it. You're behind. I feel sorry for you. Maybe go for counseling. Right? And there's another. These things aren't important. I don't need them. I don't have to be the big knacker. What do I have to invest in? Things that are real. What are things that are real? Not what other people tell me. What I know I'm willing to die for. I know chinuch of my children is more important. I know it's more important to pay school fees than to go on a flashy holiday. That is the Ephraim. That is what you stand for. And this, Yosef represented a beautiful pasuk. The pasuk says earlier on, Paroi gives him a name. Shkoyach, thank you very much. Vayikra Paroi in Perik Mem Aleph Pasuk Mem Hei. Vayikra Paroi Shem Yosef Sofnas Paneach. Paroi called the name of Yosef Sofnas Paneach. What does Sofnas Paneach mean? Explains Rashi. Mefarish Hatzfoinus, like Sofon. Means hidden, like tzofen, like afikoymen, is hidden. So tzofnas paneach means mefarish hatzvoinus, a person who explains those things that are hidden. Okay, carries on the pasuk. Vayiten loy es osnas bas Potiphar, gave him a wife. Vayetze Yosef al Eretz Mitzrayim, and Yosef went out in Eretz Mitzrayim. Ask some mefarshim, it should say vayetze tzofnas paneach al Eretz Mitzrayim. He just called him Sofnas Paneach, and the same posit, and Yosef went out of Mitzrayim. You should say Yosef Sofnas Paneach al Mitzrayim. Number one. Number two, what does Sofnas Paneach mean? Rashi just said Sofnas Paneach. What is the word hidden in Sofnas Paneach? What's Sofnas Paneach? Literally translated means hidden, okay. Reveals. Sofnas, Sofon, Paneach reveals. If the whole idea of Yosef was that he reveals what's hidden, he should be called Paneach Tzofnas. Why Tzofnas Paneach?
Say that again.
If the description of what Yosef, his greatness was a fact, that he was able to reveal what's hidden, it should be Paneach who reveals Tzofnas, that's hidden. To call him Tzofnas, which means hidden, Paneach, what's it doesn't...
Para-Odom
is also has to be dealt with.
No, it's the same thing.
Yeah, but also has to be dealt with. Yeah, also has to be dealt with. His mahus is a para.
Right.
Yeah, so what's Tzofnas Paneach? Correct. So it should be Paneach Tzofnas. What's Tzofnas Paneach? So, who says this? Excuse me a moment. Bear with me. So Svasemis. That Svasemis says that what koyach did Yosef have to survive? He said, if a person goes out to the world and says, look at me, I'm a religious Jew. Come, any questions you have, I'm going to answer you. Yeah? And the reason why I have tzitzis is because of this. I mean, the reason why I keep Shabbos is because of that. You got any problems? Come, I'll deal with you. A person cannot live their life that way. If they challenge, you've got to know the answer sometimes. You've got to be able to answer. But you cannot live your life answering challenges of other people. In order to do it, you need Yirei Shemayim by yourself and keep it quiet. Live your life. Do what you have to do. Do what you have to do in your own environment. Don't ask for trouble. The koyach of Yosef was such that he was somebody who was able to keep things hidden. He hid his greatness. Sofnas, he kept hidden paneach that could have been revealed. He kept within himself his greatness. When he looked at him, he didn't see him so great. The koyach of Yosef was, he was able to keep within inside him his greatness. Right? That is clearly what? The element of anava. Yeah? That's anava. That's what we just talked about. The Tzofnas Paneach is not to look like a great tzaddik, is an element of Yosef keeping his anava, of keeping his greatness hidden. On the other hand, says a pasuk, Vayetze Yosef al Eretz Mitzrayim. Yosef didn't get tossed around by Paroi. You're going to call me this? I'm not going to be called this. I'm going to be called Yosef. I'm not going to be influenced by other people. I've got to stand on myself. That is the other side of Ephraim, which is standing up what you believe is more important. Standing up, says the Chasam Sofer, I'm not going to be told by Paroi what to do. because I'm told by power what to do this time, I'm told by power what to do tomorrow. I have principles. I'm not willing to die, I'm not willing to do anything for them. I tell you what I'm going to do in my life. And that was Yosef Tzofnas Paneach, which means he had the humility, the one part of the Eifer, and the other part of the Eifer was the fact that he's willing to stand up for his principles and not let anything go through. So that was a Koyach of Yosef. Those two things kept him going. There's one last element that keeps Yosef going. And that is an incredible pasuk we find in the parasha, where Yosef is clearly trying to hide. Yeah, the whole parasha is giving over the impression he is a tough guy, and he pretends that he's somebody else, and he starts making do tshuva. Later on in the parasha, he very almost gives everything away. The pasuk says, in Perik Membeis Pasuk Yudches, he's speaking to the brothers, and he starts talking about Chei Paroi, long live Paroi, this and that and that. And then he says, "Vayoyim aleim Yosef v'im shlishi zois asu v'chion yuliv es ho'elekim ani yori." I fear God. What are you doing over here? Es ho'elekim ani yori. By the way, he's not referring to Paroi. He's trying to hide, and then he starts saying, "I fear Hashem." One second, this doesn't sound like a mitzri to me. Yeah, he could have lost everything. Finally, you know, we see they didn't lose it. But he could have. So what is he doing over here saying, I'm a God-fearing person? The teretz is, Yosef was so clear that it's impossible to live in this world without Yerushalayim. It cannot possibly be that Mitzrayim don't have Yerushalayim. It can't be. It can't be. I live my life, every second of my life is dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my Yerushalayim. Can it possibly be that a person who's walking around on two legs, who looks like me, cannot have Yerushalayim? And therefore, if I'm trying to portray myself and project an image of a Mitzri, and I say I'm a Yerushalayim, it's not the brother's not going to think for a moment that I am a tzaddik. Everyone needs Yerushalayim. Yosef was so focused on Yerushalayim that he didn't believe anybody else can live without Yerushalayim. There must be a small element of Yerushalayim, and therefore he's not going to give the game away. Therefore, by the way,
you're saying the fact that he said, "I fear God," he'd only say that if by the Mitzri there was some modicum of them fearing God also.
Yes, unless he believed that Mitzrayim would also fear God, then he's making himself distinctly different to the Mitzri. And therefore, unless he understood that Mitzrayim also fear God, why did he put himself in that position? So he believed that it cannot be Hashem, not to fear Hashem. You know, imagine a big tough guy comes inside, yeah, and he's 12 foot tall. He's 12 foot tall, he's got a Kalashnikov and knuckle dusters, and you name it, tattooed biceps, and he comes inside and he's causing trouble.
Biceps on each arm.
And tattooed biceps, right? He's a big tough guy, he comes inside there and he starts chucking chairs around, right? And one guy, you know, you're scared. Can you imagine, and you don't offend him in any way, can you imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahavdla alf elev avdolos, who every second of our life is totally on him, on his will for us to live. You can't fear him. How can it possibly be? Yosef could not understand that. He could not understand that. And therefore he said, I'm not going to look any different if I say, Elokim ani yori. Because every mitzvah must do that. This is the third part of believing. To stay in a world that is corrupt. To live in a world where there's ups and downs, you need anova, humility. You need dedication to your purpose, mesiras nefesh. And you need Yerushalayim. That is what you need. With this, you can answer a very wonderful thing by Chanukah. By Chanukah, and this I'm saying, and I'm very happy to say this over, and I'd like to hear feedback on this, but I absolutely believe this is MS, or at least it's very core of MS. In our Nisim, we give Shira to Kodesh Baruch Hu, we give praise to Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? And one of the whole basis of this Al Nisim, of the Shevach, is thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the incredible nace of Chanukah, not of the Neiris, but of the fact that we won in the war. And the Pasuk talks about the Nisim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Matala Meitzeros, stood with them in the time of Tsar. He fought for them, dumped us in the countenance of the Gmosom, and he really helped them along. Says the Tefillah, Mesarto Giboyirim Biyad Chaloshim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle, and he put strong people in the hands of weak people, V'rabim miyad miyatim, and many people in the hands of few, both of those incredible nisim, correct? Weak people were able to be victorious over strong people, and a few won over the majority. Carries on, utmeim biyat tohirim, and the tommy people in the hand of those who are tahir. Rishoyim biyad tzaddikim, rishoyim in the hands of the tzaddikim. V'zeidim ban iskei sarasecha, and v'zeidim in the hands of the iskei sarasecha. Why is that so special? Beginning, we talked about miracles. Rabim miyad miyatim, and geborim miyad chaloshim. What's tmei miyad tahirim, rishoyim miyad tzaddikim, v'zeidim in the hands of iskei sarasecha? What is a miracle in that? The tmei lechachamim. Why should be any more of a miracle that tahirim should win over tmeim, or the vice versa? Why is that a miracle? And what are the expressions over here of Tmei Miyat Tohoirim, Rishoy Miyat Tzadikim, and Zaydi Miyat Oiskei Sarasechel?
What's the beginning of it? Is it part of the Hodah?
It seems to be one long thing of the amazingness that Kodesh Baruch Hu helped them and put Geborim Miyat Chaloshim, strong in the hands of the weak, many in the hands of the few, Tomei in the hands of the Tohoir. Big deal. That's not a miracle anymore. What's the continuation? So I want to say like this. Okay. That the first two are the miracles. Rabbi Miad Miatim is a miracle. Geborim Miad Chaloshim is a miracle. The next three is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the miracle. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu stand by them in an Eitz Tzaroson? We're living in a world of such darkness. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it? Because these Chashmonoim had three elements that they cleave to. They cleave to Anova. In a world of all that's going on, they kept Anova. They kept Mesiras Nefesh. And they had Yerushalayim.
And
those three are going to be in those three elements over there. Number one. We have Tmeim Biyat Tohirim. What is the prime example of something that is able to change something from Tomei to Tohu? What is a prime example?
Poraduma.
Poraduma, you take a perfect cow. Absolute perfection. And you burn it. And you grind it down. And you make it into ash. A person who is Tomei is connected to this world. Connected to this world of mace. Connected to this world of physicality. To the extent that that person, the more connected you are to this world, the more Tomei you are. A mace is more Tomei than a sheretz, because it's more involved in this world. What a paraduma does is, it tells us, you're nothing. You're disconnected. Don't take away this grandiose cow, grind it down, make it into nothing, and that's how you find your perfection. That's how you find your tahara. So Utmeim Biyat Tohirim is a first expression of Anova, which is the first part, like I discussed before, of the Eifer. Rishoyim Biyad Tzadikim is very simple. Rasha and Tzadik, what difference is Rasha and Tzadik? Is Yerushalayim. Yes, Yerushalayim. Rasha and Tzadik is Yerushalayim, that's all it is. And Zaydim Biyad Oiskei Sarasechel. What was punishable for death? To learn Torah in those days was punishable for death. If they found you, they'd kill you, the Greeks. And it doesn't say they learned Torah. Loim Dei Sarasechel. Oiskei Sarasechel. They were completely involved. They were immersed in the Torah. That is Mesiras Nefesh. And therefore, what kept the Chashmonoim focused and able to win and to get the Siyata Dishmaya from Kodesh Baruch Hu was because they had those three fundamentals that we discussed Yosef had. They had the Anova, they had the Mesiras Nefesh, and they had the Yerushalayim. Those three things are the reason why HaKodesh Baruch Hu did the Geborim Miyad Chaloshim and Rabbi Miyad Miyatim.
What were the first ones in that tefillah?
The first thing just talks about what Kodesh Baruch Hu did for us. Ravtes, Rivon, Dantes, Dilan, Kantes, Nikmasom, he did our revenge, he did our din for us. But then he starts talking about the different groups. And the first two groups is explaining what the miracle was, and the next groups explain why the miracle happened. By the way, in the Gemara, I'll finish off with this. By the way, the Gemara says in Shabbos, when did Chazal put into the halacha of giving praise on Hanukkah? When did it happen? They had an amazing victory, right? They won over the Greeks. Yeah? And also they've had this Pach Shemen that lasted for 8 days. When exactly did they make this Nes Hanukkah? The Gemara says, in Shabbos, it does not say that year they did it. The Gemara says, Lashona Acheres. Lashona Acheres means, another year, they made a takana of the Yimei Hoidei Zahalel, to give praise. Does not say that year. It doesn't say how many years later either. It could have been 2 years or 3 years or 5 years. It doesn't say. Lashona Acheres. Why did they wait until then? Why did they wait until Shona Acheres to celebrate the amazing nes of Hanukkah. The teretz is, if a person allows himself to be influenced by the world amongst them, they fall into a depression, and even if they see an incredible nes that happens to them, they cannot possibly appreciate it. You know, Nebuch, in a concentration camp, even after they're liberated, these people, it didn't make a difference to them. They were starving. What difference does it make if the Americans come in or the Russians come in? We're starving to death. It meant nothing to them. They had no emotion. Only once they were fed and looked after and cared for did they suddenly begin to realize what incredible difference they're in. Klal Yisrael were in such darkness then, it didn't help making Shevach V'Doh and Halal V'Hoidoh. They don't appreciate it. They're in darkness. It means nothing to them. They're completely absorbed. They're paralyzed by the darkness. The Shona Acheres, eventually they got out of it. Through working on themselves and through encouragement, they grew out of it. And that shows the difference between the Chashmonoim, who are able to fight major wars, so outnumbered, and the people who don't focus on those three elements and get so sunk in depression that they need a Shona Acheres to get out of it. And this is Rabbi Yisrael, our bracha, the Be'ez Hashem. So they needed a Shona Acheres. They could not even appreciate the miracle that happened to them then. They had to wait until years later, perhaps, in order for them to start even realizing what incredible victory they actually had.
Versus
the Chashmonoim, right in the middle of all that was going on, they were totally focused. And they were able to fight huge armies.
Right, but I'm saying, what's the one? They're saying it's a Davar Tov that it's a Shona Acheres.
No, for the main group of people, it's a terrible thing. They had to wait to Shona Acheres. They were so steeped in their darkness, in their Choshech, that the Chazal said, you know what? Make for everybody else right now, for the Hamoin Am, for the main population, a Yontiv now. We're wasting our time. They're not going to celebrate. They can't celebrate. They had incredible victory, and everything is Nisim. People can't see it if they're completely dark. They have to open their eyes and see it. Therefore, it took them time. Versus people who are so focused and so able and so in touch with what's necessary to be done, they're able to fight a small army against a large army.
Well, where do we see that the Hashmonaim celebrated?
No, the Hashmonaim were able to fight. The Hashmonaim were willing and able to conquer huge armies, and they weren't paralyzed, but they were very, very proactive. They were proactive. They were willing to do incredible... I'm sure they did. No, I'm sure they did. You're talking about the Chazal for the Hamoin Am, for the main population.
Well, they were the Hashmonaim were Chazal.
Yeah, but they said for the main people of Klal Yisrael, for everyone else, we're not talking about ourselves and the Tzaddikim in the time, for Klal Yisrael as a whole, we have to wait. We're not dealing here with people on our own level. Let's wait until this message has sunken in, and then we can deal with them. And this is Chanukah. Chanukah is darkness, and it's darkness, and it's eventually one light after the other, coming more and more light. Until we can realize that the 8th day of Chanukah, what incredible nisim we're living amongst. And to be able to live in this golus, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take huge. You can't have a candle that has a few little wicks. You've got to have a single wick, which is dedication, which is absolute Yerushalayim, and Be'ez Hashem, which bezeicha to this nes of Chanukah, and to be able to relight our neshamas and come out there much stronger and more powerful.